what God's doing in my life, and it's amazing. But He's allowing me to be investing in youth ministries now in a way that I've never dreamed could be possible before. I've been a youth pastor for many decades. We don't count the years anymore, but they're a lot. And still loving youth ministry, is still doing it. But God, 7 years ago, gave me the chance to become a missionary to youth ministries. At first, I'd share that idea with people, and it's like, that's not really missions. And they had to go and try to explain to everybody. But it's working, and it continues to find, I continue to find opportunities where those who are doing youth ministry would love to have somebody in their corner. Whether it's like, let's talk, let's do something together. Would you come and speak for us? Yesterday, I did a three-hour training on how to make disciples in youth ministry according to Jesus. And it was an incredible time. That's why my voice is a little bit raspy today. But man, what a great time. Sometimes it's like counseling. Sometimes it's like coaching. Other times it's just having a cup of coffee and just saying, how's life? And, you know, after doing it, I've been able to experience the highs, the lows, a lot of hard times, and a lot of amazing times. Watching students' lives change and grow up and to be young men and women for Christ in incredible ways. And just to encourage youth pastors, youth leaders, volunteers, anybody working with young people, that you're okay. It's tough. You may be forgotten sometimes. Obviously, today, that's not the case. We're appreciating our pastors. But it's not an easy task. But it's worth it. And we see that in God's word over and over again, where young people do incredible things for God. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know if you were part of this generation, but I grew up and hearing about young people and the difference they can make one day. And I remember my pastor sat down with us and had us in a youth group setting, much like, by the way, that room back there. Wow, that is beautiful. Great job, guys. It's so neat. It's such a great environment to do youth ministry. I really loved what we got to do this morning. So we talked about the Word of God and how powerful it was, life-changing. But in a similar setting like that, not near as cool, but the same idea, our pastor came to us and he shared with us. He says, can I tell you something? All your life, you're going to hear people say, you're going to be around you, you're going to hear people say, you know, we love our young people. You guys are so important to us because you're the church of tomorrow. And one day you're going to be leading this church and it's going to be amazing and stuff. And he says, let me tell you, disagree with them. Please disagree with them. You're like, we're like, what? we get to disagree with people in church? It sounds fun, you know? He's like, no, just disagree with them kindly, politely, but say, thank you for that. But we believe that we are not the church of tomorrow, but as young people, we are the church of today. We are not the next generation, but we are the now generation. And we believe that young people can and will do great things. Will it be in the church? That's up to us. We can choose to give them the chance to not just know God through Jesus Christ, to walk with Him, to grow in Him, but also to serve Him and one day minister and do incredible things. We happen to believe that. We're a little crazy about that, but we believe that young people are not the next generation. It's a nice, catchy term, next gen, sounds cool. But I believe they're the now generation, and we will see that as we talk today. So that's what I get to do, and a month ago, I was in Brazil where we did this training for many youth pastors there, shared the gospel with lots of students, and there's incredible stories. A month before that, I was in Guatemala doing the same thing, on and on. There's great opportunities. I'll be in Missouri next week and have the opportunity to do that as well. On and on, the opportunities are there for youth ministry. And what I'm finding out is that God is moving among young people all around this country. We think that it's like, oh, they just don't care about God today. It's like, I don't think we're showing them God. And when we give them a clear representation of who Jesus Christ is, He's beautiful, He's attractive, and He's wonderful. And they start to understand, my life can matter. And so that's what we do. We try to encourage those who do youth ministry to keep doing it, to stay strong, keep the course, keep the faith. And so, yes, it's great. Summer camp's a great opportunity. We'll be doing a retreat here in a couple weeks where many of your students will be there and have the chance to be able to be challenged to grow deeper in their faith. We call it Elevate Retreat, and the theme this year is greater, that we believe that Jesus is greater. He's got a great commandment for us. He's got the great commission for us, and He's asked us to do greater things, and we believe that our young people can do that as well, too. So, guys, get ready. Buckle up. It's going to be an amazing time. Hey, enough about all that. That's my missions work. I get to involve myself in youth ministries here, there, and all over the place. And so answering the call of Acts 1:8, that we would be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so there's a lot of opportunities ahead. If you want to know more about that, I'd be glad to share with you that. Hey, may I tell you a story? I love to tell this story because it's just a fun story about Brazil. I happen to love Brazil with a passion. I never wanted to go out of the country. I was one of those youth pastors that felt like, we've got a lot of work to do here. So why in the world would I take a youth ministry and go do something in another country when we've got the country to change right now? And so I held to that until my mentor just kept saying, hey, you're going to go with me to Brazil. I'm like, first of all, I can't. I'm a youth pastor, so I don't have the money to go to Brazil. And number two, I don't have the time to go to Brazil. And so he came back to me after asking a couple more times and finally says, I'm not asking. I raised the money. You're going to Brazil with me. Get the time off. And I'm like, okay, that's what a mentor does, right? And he challenged me and he encouraged me to go to Brazil. I went with him on a mission trip. On the outside, complying, on the inside, kicking and screaming because I did not want to do this. Can you get me home safe and without any kind of diseases, you know, or whatever? I didn't know what I was going to find when I got there. But it would change my life forever. I've gone 17 times now. I speak some Portuguese, so I'm not quite able to preach in Portuguese, but that day's coming. I love ministering in Brazil. It's literally my home away from home. And so one time I'm there, and as I'm going, I would find myself going and leading groups. I was always leading a group, and so I had so much work to do. And anybody that's led a ministry knows that when you're the leader, you carry this great responsibility. And while I'm carrying this responsibility, make sure that at some trips up to 45 students and leaders to make sure they're all okay, they're doing what they're supposed to, they're prepared for the ministry, I realized that this is a great opportunity. But as I'm talking to these Brazilians that are becoming my best friends in ministry, one of them asked me, he says, hey, I would like you to be, I want you to be my mentor. I'm like, well, I don't even have to pray about that. You know, here's a youth pastor in Brazil. That's when it started clicking that I'm supposed to invest in other youth ministries. And so he asked me to come back and to come back and invest in him. And of course, through at the time, email and whatever else we could do. So I come back to Brazil without a group, and everything changes as I go there. I get to see Brazil through different eyes. It's kind of like when you drive down the road and you're trying to see everything, but if you go for a walk, you see more. It's the same thing. Now I get to see Brazil, experience it, instead of like lead a group through it. And while we were there, a lot of things are happening. The guys are like, hey, what do you want to do? Let's have some fun. I'm like, yes, I'm all about fun. And if you've never met a Brazilian, you better be about fun too, or you probably won't get connected very well. Brazilians are always wanting to have fun. They're always wanting to play jokes on each other and have a great time. I found that out with these friends of mine. They said, hey, we know that you like to lift weights and you like to be in shape and you like to conquer challenges. We also know that you like to run. Right? And I'm like, yeah, I do. In fact, I need to get some miles in because I'm training for a race. And they go, perfect. Let's go for a run tomorrow. Let's be ready. It's going to be awesome. I'm like, okay. So I get my brand new tennis shoes on, get them suited up. I got my running shorts. I'm all ready. You know, I got that perfect shirt for running. It's going to be ready to go. And I'm ready to go get some miles in. I'm going to do it with the guys. It's going to be great. I'm in Brazil. How cool is that? I'm training in another country, and these guys know enough English to get me by. And so we go off for a run. We're running down the road, and things are great. It's around this little lake that's right in the middle of town. It's beautiful. They have these cherry trees around there. It's just awesome. Like, this is awesome. I'm running in Brazil. This is great. And then they take us off the road. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, oh, we want to get more of your run in. So we want to show you something. Like, oh, is that right? Yeah, we're going to show you a cachoeira. A cachoeira. I'm like, cachoeira, what is that? I don't know what you're talking about. A cachoeira, like I was supposed to know. Oh, it's this waterfall. It's a you're going to love to see this waterfall. Like, oh, you know what? Go for a run, see a waterfall. It's a great deal. I'm in Brazil. Let's go, you know? Vamos. And so we start running, and we're going off path a little bit. And now we're running into the weeds, and there's briars and bushes, my legs are getting cut up and stuff. Like, this isn't a fun run. They go, oh, but it'll be worth it. And now we're into the woods, and it's getting deeper. We're into the trees. Now it's like, where are we going? And I'm starting to worry about what animals I might see, that, you know, because I'm in another country. Now we start going downhill. There's like a downhill incline, a decline, and it's muddy, and I'm grabbing on the trees as I'm trying not to fall. Like, this is not the run I planned on training with. It's now messing up my beautiful new shoes, you know, and they're just laughing and stuff. So we go down there, and we finally end up at the bottom. And they said, look over there. Like, oh, and there's this beautiful waterfall. Like, it was hidden from the rest of the world, and it was right there. And like, that's the waterfall. Let's go enjoy it. Like, okay, so we get up closer to the waterfall. We're walking there, and as we get closer, they go, okay, so we have this tradition. We, all the guys do it. We come in here, we take our shoes off, and then we run straight into the waterfall. I go, Sounds fun. Win in Rome, do as the Romans, right? Win in Brazil, do as the Brazilians. Like, okay, great. And they're like, are you ready? And I was already hot and sweaty, so I'm thinking, this is great. Let's, you know, run in the waterfall. And it was not a massive one, but it was a beautiful one. And so they said, one, two, or uno, dos, tres. And then we start running, and I start running. And as I'm running, I'm thinking at that moment, it hits me. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm the only American here. I need to run like I'm representing the United States, so I'm going to run as fast as I can, show these guys I got some speed in here, you know, and they're a little bit younger than me, but that's okay. And so I run as fast as I can, we go right into the waterfall, and as I hit the waterfall, I look to my left and my right, and I realize I'm running alone into this waterfall. They stopped, and I look back, and they're like, oh, and they're laughing. I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen? I think the walls, there's going to be something going to fall, I'm going to crash or whatever, and I'm like, they're laughing. I go into the waterfall, and it's like so cold, and like, oh, but it felt so good, you know, right? When you've done something that's hot and you get that nice cold return, I'm like, oh, and I run in there and they're laughing and carrying on. And I'm standing there in the waterfall, like, this is awesome. What are they laughing about? And I look at them, and then their facial expressions change. They're like, oh, they're disappointed. I'm like, oh. They thought they were playing a trick on me. They were gonna make me run into this cold waterfall. But see, in Northeast Ohio, that waterfall's not cold. We know what cold is up here, right? We've got polar plunges up here. This is nothing. So one by one, I grabbed these three guys, and I pulled them into that waterfall. And they're like, no, 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 no. As I was pulling them in, they're freezing. They're like, no, stop. And they're literally, their teeth are chattering. Their lips are turning blue, and I'm just standing there holding them like, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, you thought you played a trick on the American, huh? Missions is so much fun. Why don't we do more of it? When we get to experience other cultures and we share, this is the kind of stuff that happens. But it all started because there was an invitation. They said, come and see a waterfall. Come and see this cachoeira, as they would say. Invitations are a beautiful thing. I'm here today because I was invited by my friend. He said, come and see. Come see my church. Come see our new room. What a perfect day to be here. I'm so blessed. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but here today. This is the perfect place to be. I was invited by my friends. Come and see. How are you in your life when someone says, come and see? How does that make you feel when you get invited? You may not even be able to say yes, but just to be invited. Come and see. We think about this. We see it throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, Psalm 34:8 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. I dare you. I dare you. Come. If you think you know about God, give him a chance. Try. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and you will know why he's worth following. In John chapter 1, we see that John the Baptist was mentoring, discipling those who would be followers of Christ, and he was setting them up. John was the perfect hype man. He was bringing into this idea that Jesus was to come, and he was setting him up perfectly, so well that the people around him, those he was ministering to, his disciples, they were very curious about this Jesus. John says in verse 29 of chapter 1, he says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come and see. Look, come and look at this one. He's the one. Come and see. This is what I've been telling you about. And so a little bit later in that chapter, verse 38, John and Andrew are there, and they're so curious. They're so intrigued because they've heard so much about Jesus. And so as they're there in verse 38, it says, Jesus turned to them following and said to them, what are you seeking? He noticed that they're kind of like hanging out. It's kind of like they don't know what to say probably. They're kind of like, this is the one. This is the one. What's it like to be the one? What makes him so special? Why is John talking so much about him? So they're kind of like watching the sea, and he notices, he says, what do you want? What are you doing? Like, what are you looking at me for? And then they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? In other words, I take it like this, pastors is on pastor appreciation. This is a perfect morning to share this. I don't know how many of you guys have been the person to do this, but you go, pastor, like, what do you do? like, what do you do with your life? I mean, like, I know that you preach on Sunday, and then after that, I do the music and, you know, once in a while with the youth, but what do you do with your life? I mean, what's the rest of your life look like? And we're like, you really don't have time. You know, as pastors, we'd love to tell you it's crazy and it's all worth it, you know, but it's almost like that. They're here, you know, they're saying, like, Jesus, like, what's it like to be you? What's it like to be this Messiah, this the Son of God that we're told so much about? And instead of just saying, well, let me preach to you or let me share you scripture, notice what he does. Jesus was so relational. How can we do ministry today if we're not relational? If we're going to do ministry like Jesus, he was. He doesn't even know these guys yet, but yet he does this thing that makes them, I can only imagine. I wish I were standing there, but he says, he looks at them and says, hey, come and see. Come and you will see. Come with me. Let's go. And he spends the day with them. Could you imagine an invitation by Jesus to spend the day with you? And he did not rush the process. Spent the time with them. So they came and they saw where he was staying and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Jesus invited them, come and see. A little bit later, they tell Philip about it, and Philip wants to tell Nathanael about this Messiah that's coming. In verse 45 in John chapter 1, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, we have found the one whom Moses and the law and all the prophets have written about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In verse 46, Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's like, I kind of doubt this. Like, yeah, everybody says they're the Messiah. We hear about this all the time. Like, yeah, sure, right? Instead of just giving in, Philip looks at him and says, hey, come and see. Because Philip has already seen enough to know this Jesus is different than any person you've ever met. This is the Son of God. So I don't have to convince you. Just come and see. So much more powerful of an invitation than just an explanation, right? Too many times we want to rely on our talking instead of the action. Come and see. And the invitation is so powerful. We see in John chapter 4, a couple chapters later, we hear about the woman at the well who came, by the way, to get water in the afternoon so that she wouldn't be seen by others. And then Jesus shows up and wrecks all of her plans, right? Literally wrecks her life. It's a beautiful thing as he comes and they have conversation. He takes time to, again, be very relational. Listen, ask questions, engaging with her life. And she finds out very quickly that he knows everything about me, the good and the bad. This is a lot more than I expected. And yet she recognizes at some point in there that as they talk about worship and what that means, and at some point she recognizes, you're the Messiah and I need to follow you. She's so amazed that she runs into town, and she goes into town, and while she's in town, she's obviously different. Can you imagine the people who never got to talk to her because she was always trying to hide away because of her sin are now having a conversation with her because she's changed, her face has changed, her expression has changed, and she looks at them and says, come see a man who told me all things about myself. Come see a man. Come and see. She invited people that she would never have talked to otherwise. But that's what happens when we know Jesus. He changes our life, and we can't help but tell someone else about him and then invite them to come and see. Come and see. Some of my favorite words in all the world, Zacchaeus, successful in his career, frustrated in relationships, no doubt hurt, frustrated, lost, feeling depressed, discouraged, alone, hoping that this Jesus that he heard about might make the difference. Finds his way up in that sycamore tree, hoping that Jesus, trying to get his attention, and all of that with the crowd around him, Jesus sees him and he says, come and see, because I'm going to your house today, and I want to talk to you more about this life thing that you're going through. Come and see. And so he literally spends the time with him at his house. He invites him to his house, which is kind of a nice move on Jesus' part, like, come and see, but I'm coming to your house and you're treating me for dinner, and it's going to work out great. But so many people got to meet Jesus because of Zacchaeus wanting to know. And of course, the blind man who once was lost, but now he can see because he was invited by Jesus. Come and see. We see it through the scriptures over and over again that Jesus is setting up people with opportunities to invite them to know about the true God. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So come and see. Come and see. There's a lot of great stories. My favorite, found three times in the Gospels, Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 9, and Luke chapter 5. It talks about four friends. I just picture a youth group when I hear this one. I don't know why. I picture four teenagers, but they could have been adults, but we're not sure of that. But what we do know is there was a man who was paralyzed. His life, obviously, so limited. unlike others, to be able to get up and go see the sunrise, totally dependent upon other people, paralyzed. But yet, he was so, while he had so little in some ways, he had so much because he had great friends. Four great friends who said, come and see. We're going to go see Jesus today. We've heard about him, and there's a chance he might be able to help you. Come and see. I don't know if they gave him a choice or not, but he's on a mat, and they're carrying him through town. And can you imagine that if you were the guy? Would you be embarrassed or proud or both? Maybe it's like, you know, they're carrying him through town. These guys are on a mission. They're going to get him to Jesus. And meanwhile, it's kind of like, well, what's going on here? And he's riding that mat. And as he gets closer and gets closer, they get to the house, and he's probably feeling all these feelings, emotions. Should he be excited? Should he be embarrassed? I don't know. He's all these things, but he knows that four guys love him, four friends, four people are crazy about him, because they say, come and see. What we got to lose? Let's go, come and see. Let's come see Jesus. And as they're on their way, they're carrying him. Can you imagine? Like, guys, be careful, you know. Don't drop me. And we get closer and they get closer. And they get to the house. And you think it's going to be amazing, except for sold out, standing room only. It's full. The house is full. There are people outside looking in the windows. There's no chance to see Jesus today. So they don't get to come and see Jesus. Wrong, right? You know how the story goes. These guys said, we're going to come see Jesus, and we're not taking that as our answer. So they take their friend and carry him up on the roof. Can you imagine? It's one thing to carry a mat up on the roof, but a person on a mat with four friends, I imagine he was like, guys, can we just go back home? This is not going to work. It's not today. Let's do something. Do it another time. But they're like, nope, we're going up on that roof. And they're carrying him up there. Again, probably just the excitement and all the fear at the same time. They get up there, bust through the roof. That's another story for another time. Like, how is that even possible? And there they are, lowering him down. And can you imagine? You're on that mat, and you come down, and they drop him right in front of Jesus, and he looks down and looking at Jesus. And he looks up at them, and Jesus looks at him, almost like, well, what are you doing here? He's like, my friends. He points up to his friends. They said to come and see you. And he's laying there because friends said, come and see. And what's beautiful about that story, I don't know if you've noticed it through the years, but we want to go, what great faith that this man, this paralyzed man had. But Jesus says, your sins are healed. You're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And it's like, thanks. I didn't come for that, but that's good too. I thought it was maybe you could help this. I'm paralyzed. Instead, Jesus says, because of the faith of your friends, your sins are forgiven. The importance of inviting others, the faith that we show to our God because we believe that he can change lives, and we invite others to come and see this Jesus. It's an incredible story over and over again. We see it in Scripture over and over. Revelation 3:20, one of the most beautiful passages in all Scripture. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus says, come and see. Most people like an invitation. I don't know if you realize that. If you invite others into your world, it says, and I care enough about you that I want you to share life with me. Can we do that? Whether it's a coffee or staying after church to do something, go get a dinner together, work on a project, help me, I'll help you fix your car, whatever that is. Some like an invitation. Most people like an invitation. Some people like to inspect a little bit, but in the end, all of us need connection. And so when we get invited or we invite someone else, it allows the possibility for connection, and we were innately designed to be connected to one another. That's why Rush Camp is amazing. It's not because we all just come together and we need Jesus and we do it together. And the connections that happen there, the conversations and the ability to bring lives together over like multiple states, 25 different churches, 750 students and leaders together in one place at one time going, we're all in this together. We got each other. Let's connect. Invitation allows that. But interesting thing about connection and invitation, sometimes I kind of think of it's more like, I don't know if you know this phrase or not, but it's almost like a tire kicker. Like when guys that used to be, and we don't do it anymore, but when you used to go look at a car and you're kind of like, I'm interested in this car, and you're looking around and stuff. I don't know why it is, but someone will just kick a tire. Like, oh, Mel, that's a nice car. I kicked that tire. It feels so great. I bet that's a great ride. Or like, what do you know from kicking a tire? But I don't know. It's a tire kicker. We do it. Come and see this car, you know. And a lot of us like that part, but we don't buy. There's guys, I remember being in that place. I wanted a nice car, and so I'd go around kick tires and never buy. I was just coming to look. I was coming and seeing, but there was a place where that's not enough. Invitations are great, right? It's a start. Come and see. It's a beautiful thing. We can go on and on. There's much more in the scripture that says about come and see. But there's a place when it needs to go farther, right? Come and see begins. But that's only the start of things. It reminds me of my wife. When we go shopping, or I should say, when we're looking for something to do, and we say, hey, this is what we're going to do for the evening, we do it, and we always enjoy ourselves together. And once in a while, she'll say, you know, I was kind of thinking about, I kind of need some new tops. She runs a coffee shop in Wadsworth. It's really, really cool, called King Street Cafe. It's just awesome. She's the manager of it. Does a great job. And so, but she goes through tops pretty quickly because coffee spills, you know, that's what happens. And so she's making all this stuff. She's like, you know, I need some new shirts or whatever. Like, okay, let's go look for it. And so I hear, let's go shopping. And as a man, in my mind, I'm thinking, let's go hunting. We're going to go hunt down some shirts, and we're going to take them things away. We win, and then it's been a good night, right? What she really said was, let's go shopping, which means, like, let's just go kick some tires. Let's go come and see shirts. And so we'll walk around, and it's time goes. It's a half hour. There's an hour. Still no shirts. It's like, are we going to ever buy anything? No, we're just looking. And we walk away 2 hours later, no shirts. I'm like, well, did we win? Feel like we lost. She said, I just wanted to spend time with you. I just wanted to come and see the shirts. I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and buy these later or whatever. We didn't win. We lost. We were supposed to buy shirts. She said, I just wanted to come and see. But I'm like, at some point, it needs to change. Some point, there's a time you got to buy the shirts. And at some point, that invitation is fine, but there's got to be more. Jesus does invite us to come and see. But there's a point when that come and see needs to change. He watches, he engages, he shares with you. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So come and see him, but at some point, are we drawn to him or not? Because his next call is, follow me. Follow me. Come and see. Did you see? Is this what you thought it was? Are you ready? You know, sometimes we think of evangelism like we have to persuade someone or talk somebody into something that they're not really wanting to do. When in reality, Jesus says, just let them come and see. Because when they come and see Jesus, that's enough. And if they don't see him as who he is, then maybe they're not ready, or maybe they're choosing to ignore that invitation to have a relationship. But at some point, Jesus says, okay, you've seen, now come do something about it. Do you realize that the disciples spent a lot of time with Jesus before they actually truly chose to follow him? They were coming to see him. It's okay. If people are coming to church that don't know Jesus, and they keep coming, it's okay. It's okay. Come hang out. We're glad you're here. But at some point, we need to also make the invitation that Jesus says, follow me. If you want life, it's time to turn from your old ways and follow me. There's a different life. In many ways, we've come to see that Jesus is good, and it's time to take action upon that. Many years ago, I met this beautiful young lady at Liberty University when I was still a young, handsome man, and I remember seeing her and wanting to talk to her, and I got to come and see what her life was like. I guess you would say we were talking, we were dating, we were hanging out, and life was great. I remember the day that I asked her to marry me, and everything changed. It was no longer come and see, it's like, let's make this real. Let's make a commitment. Let's get serious about this. Let's say that we are going to build this life together in the Lord's leading. And we did that, and so here we are 36 years later, still loving that commitment as we walked life together. But it comes to that place where we have to say, are we just interested, or are we actually willing to jump in? Jesus is asking all of us all the time to come and see. Every morning, he wants to spend time with you. Every evening before you go, he wants to spend that time. Throughout the day, he's calling out for you. Come see this. But if you're following him, that's so much easier because you're already there. You don't have to come. You can just see because you're following him. You're walking in the path that he has, and he has so much for you today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never made that decision, Jesus invites you to come and see. And you know what? I love the way that Jesus, if I read the scriptures right, he just trusts that you will see that this is the way. And you get to choose whether you're going to follow him or not. We ask that today you consider following him because it's the best choice. It will change your whole life forever. And I don't know what you're going through. You may be going through some challenging ways. I was just talking to people in Brazil and Guatemala, and then in Atlanta the week before that. And you know what? It's everywhere. We all have troubles. We all have hurts. We all have sin, and it all has to be dealt with. And it comes down to there's one person who can deal with that. It's Jesus. He's asked you to come and see because he's going to change your life. When you choose to receive that free gift of salvation, you will never be the same. And if you've never made that decision, or you've been thinking about it, or it's first time here, or you've been here for a long time, you're just like, I'm just not ready. I ask that today you would consider following him. Because maybe today's the day. Today would be the day of salvation for you that would change your life forever, because you've come to see that Jesus is good. And he's worthy. He's trustworthy. If we were to do testimony time now, brothers and sisters in this room would say, he's this, he's that. All the reasons for you to say, you know what, I can trust that kind of Savior. Like Nathaniel, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything come good from being a Christian? And we would all say, oh, come and see. There's so much here. And so we invite you today. In fact, Jesus says it this way. I love this invitation. He says, take, in Matthew 11, 29, 28, and 30, he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Come and see. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bow your heads and close your eyes as we wrap up today. Probably do some music here as we get ready to wrap things up today. I just want you to think, though, today. Is Jesus asking you to come and see? And you're like, yeah, I don't know. It's a big decision. Listen, that's why it's come and see. It's not like we're putting any pressure on anybody. And if the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart and he's knocking on your heart's door saying, it's time, let's go, then why not? What have you got to lose, right? What have you got to lose? If Jesus is everything that we say he is, then your life will never be the same. It may not be easy, but you'll always have the strength to go through because Jesus will be your strength. You'll always have the focus because he is the focus. You'll always have purpose because Jesus is the purpose. So today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I challenge you, come and see, and now follow him. Some of us thinking, oh, this message wasn't for me today. I already came, I saw, and I'm following him. And for that, I'm so grateful. I have felt that today. Believers working together, serving together. But I don't know if you recognize in this whole message, it was for you too. Because as Jesus called us to come and see, and then we start to follow him, do you realize, remember the next thing he says? Follow me, and I will show you how to be fishers of people, of men. I will show you how to invite others to come and see. How are you doing? When was the last time you invited someone to come and see? It may be to church. That's the easiest one. That's a slam dunk, no-brainer. That's the easiest one we got. Like, hey, come to church with me. You're like, well, my friends don't want to go to church. But at least when they get here, we've got it together, man. This is beautiful. Messed up people loving a Jesus that is perfect, but doing it together. But maybe it's time now to invite others to come and see the life that you're walking. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, follow me. Did he really say that? Yeah, he says, follow me as I follow Jesus. So as you follow Jesus, are you inviting others with you? Man, I'm so glad that you and Jesus have a great relationship. If you do, that's beautiful. But wouldn't it be awful to find out one day the people in your life you were not inviting never had the chance to know Christ the way you do because you didn't invite them? I love this church and the passion, the mission, what's going on here. There's room for more. There's room for so many more. And what if God would get a hold of our heart and realize as we support 70 missions around the world, how great that is, that our biggest mission point would happen right here in Mansfield, where we would one by 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 one invite others to come and see. Not just a church. That would be great. Let's pack this place out, right? There's plenty of seats we can fill them up with. We can get more seats. We can get more services. but one by one, that you would love them and show them, just like Andrew did for John, just like Philip did with Nathaniel, like the woman at the well did for her friends, these four friends who took their friend to Jesus. Did you see that the theme throughout this whole sermon was people who were saying, my Jesus is enough, and I want others to know him the same way that I know him. So come and see. Come and see. Who are you inviting in your life? Including believers who may be younger in the faith. Hey, come and see. Let's walk this thing together. People who don't know Christ, come and see. Let me share love with you, life with you. Let pray with you. Let's invest in one another. Come and see. Follow him. And then he says, I want to show you how to be fishers of men. I guarantee you, pastors, leaders here will be glad to do training, teaching, coaching, equipping, whatever it takes to get you to a place where you feel confident that you can come and see it. And here's the last thing I'm going to say. You're going to go, but pastor, I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not equipped enough. I'm not mature enough. I'm not ready yet. The woman at the well wasn't. She just found out that he knew everything. She just came to him, and she just now has to go and tell others. How much do you need to know to disciple another person or to lead someone to Christ? Surprisingly, just more than them. And we all, if we have a walk with Christ, we have enough. We have Jesus, and we know more than they do, and that's all we need to know to help disciple or lead someone else to Christ, is know more than them. And when we don't know the answers, we go to others who do. So come and see, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.